Hey, this is Keith LaRue from Kiss Online and the Kiss Indie Expo, and you're listening to Podcast Rock City.
Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hey, Kiss World, what's up?
Man, we're a little late getting this episode together, but that's because we had a lot of fun. I drove my ass up to St. Louis to see Kiss with Jody. He's the final member. Actually, fucking D-Rock. I gotta see Kiss with D-Rock. This is never gonna end. Okay. All right, well, he was the final member of this show for me to see Kiss with, so, and that worked out. Yeah. We had a great time. We're going to talk all about it, and, you know, we actually went to D-Rock's house, and we hung out, and you took me some record stores. We're going to get into all of it. It was a lot of fun. As far as news goes...
Podcast Rock City News.
I mean, I guess the news is Kiss is still touring in the United States, and they're kicking ass.
Absolutely.
It's like, you know, 20,000 people here, 18,000 people there, 20,000 people here. It's like, it's, you know, it's never, they're going out in style. You know, enough people are seeing them where it's not embarrassing or, you know, because it could have been.
Yeah, I mean, especially this far into the tour, I was, like, super shocked how many people were at that show the other night.
Yeah, we were just floored by how packed it was. We have to remember, though, that, you know, it's Atlanta's one, like, where I'm from, Atlanta, is, you know, everything is really spread out from Atlanta. You can come from Birmingham, or you can come from maybe Tennessee. But in St. Louis, man, people come from everywhere around that area. There's so many adjoining big cities, you know?
Yeah. Plus, Kiss hasn't really played here since that Def Leppard tour in whatever year that was. Like, what, 2014?
Yeah, I guess it was.
So, I mean, Kiss themselves haven't been here. Gene's been here and various Kiss-related activities, but no Kiss, you know? I think people were hungry for it. Obviously. Holy shit.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So I guess we'll go ahead and tell the story. So the news was the news. The news is that Kiss is still touring and Kiss is killing it. If you guys have the opportunity to go and see a show, do not miss out. I mean, this past show was my fifth, and if they come too close, I'm going. I'll drive. But you know, it'll have to be on a Sunday though. Because I got to work now. I take so much time off to go into these things. But anyway, all right. So I'll start and then we'll continue, right?
Sure.
Because there's Kiss-related shit that happened the whole...
Yeah, this will start with like Friday.
Yeah, Friday. Here in Atlanta, we don't have Comic-Con like they have out west. We have Dragon-Con. And Dragon-Con's been going on for years and years and years. It's basically Comic-Con. They have stars, but not the same kind of stars as they have out there, because those guys all live out there. So when you got an Avengers movie coming out, those guys just hop in their car and drive to whatever, and you know.
Right.
But out here, it's a little different.
And Kimchi Chris's band was supposed to be playing, right?
Yes, yes. Okay, so that's why I went. The whole reason why I went. So I drive out to see our friend Kimchi Chris. His band is playing. And I get there, and they played at 1 and at 5, and then they were doing a panel at 8:30. So I didn't get to go to the 1 o'clock, but I was going to the 5. It was either 5 or 5:30. I go, I see them. I'm all excited. Him and his girl, their band is crazy, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But they're called the Night Sabers. So if you get a chance to check them out, make sure you do. So I go there. Karen basically says, go there and buy everything they have to sell. So I bought all their CDs. I bought a poster. I bought a T-shirt. Chris gave me a button. Because Chris is family, you know, and when he, just like anything else we do, he supports us and we support him. So, like I said, Night Sabers, check them out. So he says, oh, my band is playing. While I'm standing there, people are coming up and introducing themselves and buying CDs and spending money. And I was really happy for them because this is the whole reason why they're there, is to promote their band. And playing Dragon Con is a huge deal. Like 100,000 people come through this expo.
Right.
So it comes time. He's playing in a completely different hotel because this thing spreads across like 4 hotels. So we walk over to the hotel, and when we get there, his space for playing is kind of blocked by a line for some writer.
Okay.
That's like a what do you call it? New York Times best-selling science fiction writer. You know?
Yeah. Cool.
Their line goes right in front of their little stage area, and I'm like, they're like, I don't know if we should do this. I don't know if this is going to work out. And I'm like, you know, personally, what I said was, you're killing it at your booth. Why don't you just go there and play right at your booth? So they thought about it, and then they said they were going to go get something to eat. And then I said, I'm going to go wander around the sales area where they have all the sci-fi stuff that's for sale, which, by the way, is in another hotel. So I'm going to go and see them perform at their booth after they eat, and then I'm going to go to their little, they have like a Q&A thing.
Yeah.
So I go to the thing. I'm wandering around. I come across – I'm probably putting these in the wrong order, but it's okay because we get in the same place. And I come across this guy who has movie posters for sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And – I'm wearing a Kiss shirt, of course. And the guy looks at me, and I just point to my shirt, Kiss. And he goes, I got one thing. Let me see if I can find it. And he starts looking through, and he pulls out an original Mexican Phantom of the Park poster, movie poster.
Yeah.
Which was badass, man.
Totally, dude.
So I like, let me tell you, this thing was so badass, I left it in the car and drove it up to Jody so I could show him what we got.
I was like, holy fuck, dude.
It's like just the weirdest thing. And as a matter of fact, I brought it, I bought it before Kimchi Chris's band tried to play. And he looked at me and he goes, "You leave it to you to find the one Kiss item in this entire damn place." So anyway... So I'm wandering around there, and I am really my legs are starting to hurt all of a sudden. I'm getting these cramps, and I'm like, okay, I got to sit down. And I go and I sit down. Everybody knows I'm not the healthiest person. That's bad. So I'm getting these cramps in my leg, and then I'm getting them in my side, and it's just from walking too much. This con is awesome. But it's a lot of walking, and it's uphill and downhill and uphill and uphill and uphill. So I start looking at the time, and I know I got a little bit of time. So I start thinking about it. I don't remember where I parked my car. So I look at my ticket, my parking ticket, and it says where I parked my car. So I tell my phone, because I have plenty of time, hey, you know, get me to this place. And it opens up the map and it tells me where to go. But I guess because I was in the city, that the GPS was terrible. It was so anyway, needless to say, not only was I lost 20 minutes later, but I was lost for an hour.
Oh, no.
Every once in a while, a random person dressed like Steve from Stranger Things and the ice cream hut, you know, would come walking by. And that's how I knew I was still in Georgia, because these people, I walked so much. Finally, I find this parking deck that looks familiar.
Okay.
So I go inside, and I can't remember what floor I parked on. So I get in the elevator, and I go all the way to the top floor. And then I go all the way to the top floor. I walk out of the elevator. I push the button. My car doesn't beep. I get in the elevator. I go down one floor. I push the button. My car doesn't beep. I do it again and again. And then finally, I hear a car beeping, but it's not mine. Okay? Not my car. But I decided to walk out there anyway and see what's going on. And amazingly, the car beeping is across from mine. And obviously, there was somebody else lost, and they were doing the same thing. And I just was lucky enough that they were across from me. Anyway, I go to my car. I put the poster in there. I put all the stuff that I had just bought in the car. I look at the time. I'm like 10 minutes into their Q&A, and I've missed it. So I just decide, all right, I'll apologize to Chris later. I'm sure he'll understand. Anyway, so Kimchi Chris, I'm sorry I missed your thing. I promise that somehow I will see your band live. I feel terrible. Especially, you know, not only that, I closed my store to come to this, and then I effed it all up. But so anyway, I hop in the car and I start to drive home, and I get to Karen's house, and Karen has already gone out of town to go and spend the weekend at her parents' house. So I go in the house, at this point right now, it's like 9 o'clock, like 9:15, and I just walked right upstairs and went right to bed. I was so tired. And I just, you know, laid down and went to sleep, because I knew the next day I'm going to see Jody. So the next morning my alarm goes off at like 5 o'clock in the morning, because it's like a 7.5 hour drive from Atlanta to where Jody lives. And I want to make sure that I get there with so much extra left in the day that it makes it worth it. You know what I mean?
Right. So we could do some shit.
Yeah. If I got there at 9 o'clock at night, then we'd just sit in the house. You know,
you'd have crashed immediately.
Yeah, that would have been awful. So I hop in my car, I start driving, and no problems, man. There was no bad traffic. I on my way up, I saw a ton of like electric company trucks going south, like headed towards wherever that hurricane was supposed to be going. You know?
Oh wow.
I saw a ton, at least 15, maybe 20.
That's crazy.
It took me about 8.5 hours, but I got, you know, to Jody's house. I pull in the driveway. He comes out. We give each other a big hug. It's exciting because I'm now never been, you know. Plus, I'm hanging out. I get to hang out with Jody. And as much as Jody and I have been together over the past few years between the Rockin' Pods, we've never actually spent any one-on-one time together. It's always been with a bunch of people around, which isn't a big deal. That's fine. We like that. But this was different, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
So we go in the house. We chill out. Your girlfriend, Amber, the love of your life, comes in. Love of my life, too. She's such a sweetheart.
She all right.
She was excited to see me, too.
Yeah, you know, of course.
We're all hanging out in the house. And that's when we're all like, all right. You know, let's go out, man. Let's go. I want to go to a record store, because that's my thing. You know, I like spelunking in record stores.
Absolutely.
Okay. So Amber goes ahead and gets dressed, or starts to get dressed. 16 hours later, she comes out of the bathroom and we hop in the car, and she drives us to the Record Exchange. Right. That's what it was called.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. I'm going to let you in on a little secret right now. in St. Louis, there's this place called the Record Exchange. It's wall to wall everything.
There's so much shit you can barely like squeeze through the aisles. It makes you feel kind of claustrophobic, but it's awesome.
There's so much stuff in there. Records, videotapes, 8-tracks, cassettes. Upstairs, there's a room that's probably about 40 feet long or longer, about 25 feet wide, and it's nothing but 45s. Nothing but 45s. That's it.
Yeah, and it's like an oven up there, though. That's the only disadvantage. You go up there and lose 5 pounds.
Yeah, I did, and then I gained it back later. But at the barbecue place. But so we're wandering through there, and Amber immediately goes, "Hey, Joe, look at this." And it was like a promo picture, his promo picture from... I don't remember. I want to say it was like Revenge, right?
I think you're right, yeah. There was a bunch of different ones, right?
They had an Ace Frehley picture with an autograph. It had a little water damage. The autograph was fine, but for you collectors out there, it did not have the little Ace card that he draws.
Yeah.
So my understanding is he started putting the Ace card in there to represent a different era of Ace Frehley, when he was in, and I could be wrong, but when he was in Kiss, he did not put the Ace when he was in Kiss the original time.
Yeah,
this time was I think when he started putting the Ace, but I could be wrong. But that was my understanding. Anyway, what I thought was a napkin. I got it home now, and it's actually a piece of paper, Jody.
Oh yeah,
that's been folded in half. Still. So it's still awesome. So there's this framed napkin, which was what we thought was a napkin, and it has Bruce, Paul, Gene, and Eric Carr's autograph on it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I want that. And it looks legit, you know? I thought it looked legit. I looked at Jody. He said, "That looks legit, you know?" And I called my buddy Phil Elliott from Creatures of the South. If you guys listened to the last show, you heard him on there. He sent me a message and said, "That looks legit. Get it, you know?" You know, so I walked up to the owner and I said, "What? How much is this?" And he basically said, "He goes, I'm not going to lie. It's not authenticated. I can't promise you it's real. But Jody and I already know that this is real. We just by the Paul and Gene and Bruce autographs that it's real. Eric isn't something that I see every day, you know?"
Right. Yeah, we were already convinced it was legit, so.
The guy said it's probably worth $300 or $400 if it was authenticated. I'd have to say way more, but he said, "Just make me an offer." So I made him an offer of $50. He took it. I don't think I could have gone less. I think that, you know, it was already framed and everything.
Yeah. They ended up telling us that some kind of Kiss dude ended up selling them all of his autograph collection. So why there was like maybe 10 or 12 in that box.
There was Peter Criss and there was all kinds of stuff. I was so excited to look at the Eric Carr, to get the Eric Carr one. I didn't even look through the rest of them. Which is probably better stuff in there. But anyway, I told him $50. He said sold. We wandered around. So Jody finds cassette tapes. I grab a couple cassettes. I wasn't sure if I had them, but you know, I they were only a couple bucks a piece. I find a couple VHS tapes. We go upstairs. There's a bunch of 45s, but nothing that was unique. Nothing we don't have.
Right. It was the typical Detroit Rock City and Hard Luck Woman shit.
Then we come downstairs and Jody sees on the wall framed the ad for the Originals out of Rolling Stone magazine.
Oh, yeah.
So I said to the guy, "I want that too. How much is that?" He goes, $10. I'm like, "Jody, pull it off the wall. Let's go."
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
So we pick all that stuff up. The guy at the counter was really nice. The Record Exchange in St. Louis, guys. If you could go there, if you've never been there, you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. I did not buy even one-tenth of the Kiss stuff at that place. There was a ton of it locked up in a glass case that was right by the autographs. So, like I said, it was crazy.
Yeah, that place is nuts.
That place is nuts, man. It's like, even on the walls, like, they have like one of those old jackets.
Yeah, the old Kiss Love Gun jackets.
That you order out of the magazine, you know, that's like a paper.
Yeah.
Posted. It had the pick their faces. It's like the jacket was cut, like the back was cut out of it.
Yeah, it just says decoration. There's a lot of Kiss shit all over the walls, even in the bathroom.
Yeah. I didn't go into the bathroom because somebody tried to kill Jody in there.
Oh my God, dude. I walked in there, my eyes started watering. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta get the fuck out of here. I think that's where that guy was when they said he was out to lunch. He was in there for a while, I think.
He was delivering the lunch.
Oh, man. The paint was peeling, dude. It was brutal.
So we buy that stuff, and then we hop in the car, and he says, there's another record store. Let's go there. So what was this one called?
Then we went down to Vintage Vinyl.
Vintage Vinyl.
Which is okay, but it's no Hampton Record Exchange. You know what I mean?
No, it wasn't. And you know, it was okay. It had a lot of cool stuff.
We saw the album that looks just, it has the same cover art as Wicked Lester. I don't even remember who you put. It was just there on the shelf.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the band that bought that cover for their record, but it's from the 70s, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
So we wandered around there for about 30 minutes. Then we decided to go to the Rocket Fizz. I got myself a Kiss root beer. I got myself a piece of taffy, banana taffy. And then we decided time for dinner. So, and we went to this barbecue joint. Man, I don't know the name of the barbecue joint.
I don't remember what it's called either. It was like right across the street from Blueberry Hill, though. It was a newer place.
Anyway.
Yeah, not important.
Food was good. I enjoyed it very much. I have to say that the food came kind of quick too, didn't it?
Yeah, that place was popping off too, man. It was like, holy shit.
It was busy.
Because before we went in, you're like, see what the wait is. I was like, what's the wait? He's like, we got you. Okay. If you say so.
Yeah. And going new places, you get a little nervous because, you know, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. But we went in and we all ate some barbecue and we had a good time. Jody, you had St. Louis burnt
ends, and I don't even know what it was exactly, but it was pretty good.
Yeah. And the macaroni and cheese had like Ritz crackers in it. It was strange.
It was weird, but pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Everything was good. We had a great time. Then we got done. We wandered around for a little bit more, and then we hopped in the car and headed on home because my ass was exhausted. I had already, you know, driven, you know, shit, 700 miles, something like that. So we went to your house. We were going to go to D-Rock's that night. And I was like, tell him we ain't making it. We'll come tomorrow. And I went to my hotel, which doubles as a church, apparently. We'll get into that in a minute. So I go into my room. I turn on the TV. I'm watching the Auburn football game. Auburn's getting beat. And I thought, well, and they're not my favorite team by any means, but I have a lot of friends that are big Auburn fans. So I thought, all right, I'll go to sleep and tomorrow they'll have won. And then I woke up and they had won. My friend was like, thank you for going to sleep.
Yeah.
Because I the story, and she was like, well, I'm glad you thought that because that's how it worked out. So I get up that morning, so I drive to the house. Y'all are eating some breakfast, we're chilling out, and then it became time to go to D-Rock's house.
Yeah.
D-Rock lives in a mansion. I want y'all to understand that. It's 22 bedrooms. Not really, but it's so much bigger than I thought one person ever needed.
It is.
It's like he's like got so much house. Anyway, so We went over there because I brought my guitar and Jody and I were going to jam. I didn't know what was going to come up, but I thought it would be fun just to play some guitar.
Yeah, just fuck around.
Yeah, and have some fun. We stayed there for a couple of hours. We recorded a little something. Jody is so much better than I am.
Right.
No, come on, you're solo. Wait till you guys hear it, man. You can tell the difference between me and Jody. But so we did that, and then I humped on D-Rock before we left.
That was hilarious.
D-Rock was like, I was like, I want to get a picture. He's like, yeah, man, we need a picture. And then I gave the camera to, to Jody, and I said, I set it on the live photo, you know?
Yeah.
And then so when you click the button, it records a second and a half before the picture flash and a second and a half after. And as soon as you push that button, I just started humping. And there's like four pictures on my camera of me doing nothing but humping D-Rock, and D-Rock's getting all embarrassed.
That was really funny.
He came out of nowhere. It was like,
yeah, D-Rock was in good spirits for a change. It was pretty cool.
D-Rock was, okay, you guys all that listen to the radio show on Wednesday nights on what the hell is the radio station? KGFRocks.com, the TuneIn app. Y'all know D-Rock. He's been sick lately, but he looked good, and he was happy that we were there hanging out. We had a great time hanging out with him, and it was a lot of fun. He's got guitars galore. This dude owns every DVD that has ever come out. I swear to God. I was like, D-Rock, do you ever run out of movies to watch?
No. Never going to happen.
So we do that. Now, mind you, we still got a few hours before Kiss is playing, and that's why we're going. But we're touching all the bases, okay?
Right.
We hit out of the park already.
Totally.
And we're gonna go and touch all the bases. So we leave there and we head back to Jody's house. And Jody wants to take a shower. That's when the first time I ever saw Jody without a hat on in my life.
That's Jody, hilarious.
What's that hairstyle called?
Oh, yeah, Joe got to see my wicked devil lock.
Devil lock,
which most people don't ever see. Because it's usually tucked up under my hat, but yeah. Oh, yeah, that's funny to think about, you know, something that silly. You never saw me without a hat. And we've been doing a show together for like 5 years or whatever.
Amber is like, she has to work, but she's like, when the concert's over, she's a manager at a restaurant there. So she was like, when the concert's over, come here and get some food. So that was like, I was thinking about that through the whole concert. I'm just kidding. All right, so we still got other things to do. Our buddy Joe Odell, he's got, you know, Jody's been to Joe Odell's house, and I got to go to Joe Odell's house because I keep hearing about his Kiss collection, right? So we get to the house, and Kenny Bagley was already there, who was going to the concert with Joe. They had front row tickets, and there was a few other guys there, friends of Kenny's, right?
Yeah, Bill from Germany.
We met all of them.
Yeah.
And they all split because they were going to go to the Rock and Brews, I think is what they said, which I still haven't been to. So they split, Joe and Jody and I. We all go into the Kiss room. First things first, he's got both Kiss pinball machines, which they were in immaculate shape, and they were beautiful, and but he's got all these gold and platinum records that once belonged to like Bill O'Coin. He's got his guitars and his Paul guitar and his Paul and his Gene bass. They're all framed in these really nice guitar cases. Everything was put together very nicely. He had a beautiful collection. I enjoyed looking at it very much, and I want to thank him again for inviting us over to hang out for a little while, you know. And just talk Kiss and look at all the stuff. Jody, what was that one thing that you loved? That Argentinian?
Yeah, he's got the Hotter Than Hell from Argentina that has like the solo albums art. And not only did he have it on vinyl, but he also had the fucking cassette, which I had never seen before.
All right, so I looked that up on eBay after I left you, that, you know, after the concert.
Yeah.
And they were selling one online for about $450 if you want to get it. was like $450. Damn.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'll have to wait. But so we went there and we had a great time. And Joe, he has this wall where it's nothing but pictures of him or his wife with members of KISS. And they're all autographed, which was even cooler.
Yeah, and there's like 50 of them.
Yeah.
Different events and things.
It was so much fun. And he's a great guy. Like, so like, just another one of those guys that you meet in the KISS Army where you're like, man, I'm so glad I know this person because they're awesome.
Yeah.
You all out there know those people. The KISS Army is the best. So and then it was time to head to the venue. So we drive to the venue. It's the Hollywood Casino. Is that what it was called?
Yeah. Formerly Riverport.
Yeah. And they park, where they park us is $623,542 miles away from the venue.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. So we start walking. This is where it gets funny. We start walking. We're about 150, 200 yards away from my car, right?
Yeah.
About a third the way to where we're going. And all of a sudden I go, I lost my wallet. We had to walk all the way back to the damn car where I put my wallet on the console. I needed it, so I got my damn wallet. Then we walked all the way back to it. Man, the line to get into that place was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it was just such a huge line. And Jody and I walked. We walked and we got in line and got, and it was almost like
lambs being led to slaughter.
But it was like a scene out of A Christmas Story when the little boy walks and gets in line and he goes, "Hey, little boy, the line ends here. It begins back there." We had to go another 100 yards back. We went to the back. We stayed in the line. And we walked probably about 50 yards before we just happened to notice that people are just walking by us and going to the thing. And then it occurs to me, I don't even know what this line is for. I'm standing in the line. It could be I get to the front of the line and they go, we have somebody there with gunpoint going, give me your money. So I looked at Jody. I said, screw this. Let's walk to the front. And the funny thing was is that the line police were there, you know. There's a guy, line police, and he goes, I heard him go, some people must not think that they have to wait in a line. And I was like, I'm in another city. Otherwise, I'd have been like, you're right, douchebag McFucker. And, you know, but like, come on. I don't need, and he didn't know what line he was standing in either. That's the thing, okay? We walk to the front. We get there, and at the front, that is one line, one single line, is filing into five different spots to go into the venue. And nobody told them they had to be in a line.
Right.
They just made one. So we go, and we go in, and Karen and I, we were going to sit on the lawn, and Karen and I wanted to surprise Jody because I didn't, you know, I thought that a bunch of people were going to be going with us, and that's why we were sitting on the lawn. So when I found out that it was just going to be Jody and I was like, hell no. And I got us some good seats, just, less than 20 rows from the stage at a good price, too. It was, we got lucky. But they were great. Front, like right in the center.
Yeah, like perfect.
Perfect, you know? And so we didn't go to our seats immediately because I think we both had this idea that once we got there, we were going to be there.
And we were. Once we actually sat in our seats, there was no getting out, dude.
There was no getting out. You had a drink. You're lucky. I had to, like, wait it out.
I thought you had gotten that Pepsi.
Oh, damn, dude. That Pepsi was gone. Pepsi was.
I mean, we could have gotten out, but it seemed like when we came in, those people were really put out, you know?
Yeah, because my fat ass was walking by, like, bumping my in all their junks as I walked by. They look so uncomfortable. That's the closest those dudes ever want to be to a man. So we didn't go to our seats right away, and I decided, let's go and look at the merch. And the merch lines were forever, and I didn't want to wait in line for those. So, damn it, I missed out on a St. Louis t-shirt. I'm pissed off about it. But that was okay. We get our drinks. We go. We sit down. Painter comes out. Jody, this is you now. Now, you got to talk about the painter.
You know, we've made a million jokes about the painter. But, dude, I enjoyed it. I thought he was pretty cool. And it wasn't so long either. You know, it was just the perfect amount of length. Because if he would have did one more, I might have been like, come on already. But three quick, awesome ones, it was cool.
Yeah, and he's talented.
When you looked at, like, when you told me that he was in the damn Tower of Power, I couldn't believe that. That's crazy.
Yeah. When, at one point, I know, now I've seen the painter three times. Vegas was the only place where he wasn't at. Everywhere else I've seen him, so I kind of had an idea. So there was a dude sitting on my right who had never seen Kiss. Jody had seen Kiss but never seen the painter. I'm telling the dude on my right, man, get ready. This is going to be awesome. And Jody, I looked at Jody after the first painting happened, and he is full on clapping, going, wow.
It was cool.
It was awesome, man. So he comes out and he does his three paintings. At the end of it, you know, there's one for St. Louis that they're going to raffle off or sell for charity, you know. And it was awesome. So they start to tear down the stage, and that's when I start looking around and realizing, damn, I'm really here. We see our buddy Lonnie from FAQ, Kiss FAQ, and we wave at him.
Yeah, we couldn't even get over to him. Could not get out of there.
Yeah, we were sardines. And then Ace's band showed up. Not all of them, though. Who showed up? Did you catch everybody?
It was Ryan, Phil, and Christopher Williams.
Yeah, they showed up, and they were like just two rows ahead of us.
And I was like, Phil! He looks over, and he's like, oh, what the fuck? That was pretty funny.
And then, my phone was blowing up with people that I knew that were there that were like, hey, let's hook up, you know? And I was like, I ain't getting out of my row.
Yeah, because before the show, we ran into Jay Sablewski, longtime listener, buddy of ours.
We've seen Jay before, and his wife was super nice, and she just stood there while the boys did their talking. It was funny, too, because she ran into some people she knew, and they looked shocked that they were all at this Kiss concert together, which would be funny. We took some pictures and we split up, man. We went, you know, we went to our seat. And that's when we decided to stay, you know, and we stayed. And we weren't going to move. So the whole concert ran. The Kiss comes out, blows the roof off the place. We're not 100% sure, but there is a good chance that Kiss has a song in the new Rambo movie.
Yeah, dude, they played that Rambo. There was like a Rambo trailer. They played it at least 10 times. And you know what I was thinking about it just the other night? It's like in the trailer they had I Love It Loud, right? Why wouldn't they use War Machine for Rambo? Doesn't that make more sense?
Yeah. There used to be a wrestler named Bullet that used to come out in a mask to War Machine back in the day.
That's cool.
And
But I've never seen a trailer at a concert before. Have you?
I can't remember. There was something at Iron Maiden, but I don't think it was a trailer for a movie. I think it was a trailer for the new Iron Maiden game app or something like that.
That makes sense.
You know. So, Kiss show starts, and they blew the roof off the joint, man. There was 20,000 people there. The lawn was so full. I thanked God that we were not sitting on the lawn. I was like, I would not have enjoyed that nearly as much as what we did, you know?
Yeah, we were about the best place we could be, you know what I mean? Perfectly dead center, far enough back to take it all in, but also to see the sweat on their nose, you know what I mean?
The cool thing was, for Jody, was I have seen the show a few times. So when certain things was happening, I was pointing at him to look in a certain direction because that stuff was still going on.
Yeah, I would have missed half that shit if you didn't. Because, like you said, man, there's so much shit going on. It was crazy and awesome. It was great for me because, as you know, I mean, I haven't seen it this year because I got, you know, all that shit happened when I was supposed to go to Vegas. So it was like, I don't know, it was super cool to finally get to see it, you know, not only to finally see it, but to see it with you in my hometown and know that we've been hanging out all weekend. It was just fucking awesome, dude. I couldn't have had a better time, really. And my fucking face still hurts from smiling all night.
Okay, so I got to tell you this other thing. Okay, so Kiss, man, Kiss was blowing it out, okay? So through almost the whole freaking show, there's a dude standing in front of Jody, and he keeps eyeballing me, and
I thought at first it was like he couldn't understand why we were singing everything or something, you know?
Because Jody and I were singing everything. Okay, this guy keeps looking back at me and looking back at me and looking back at me, and I'm like, damn. I am going to get in a fight in St. Louis.
Well, I thought it was either you're singing or maybe he didn't like my pen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But still, I looked at his girlfriend or wife or whatever, and I was like, well, I didn't stare at her because, I mean, she's just his wife. She was regular looking, you know? And it wasn't like she was, you know. So anyway, Paul Stanley finally flies out, right?
Yeah.
And flies out. He flies just to the right of us, right? He was close.
Yeah.
He flies out by us. We turn around because his stage is 20 feet from us, behind us. When I turn around, I realize that dude is not staring at me. He's staring at super fly chick that is standing behind me.
Yeah. There was two of them.
Two girls, so beautiful. They were probably 18 to 20 years old, maybe a little older, I don't know. But they were so beautiful. And that's when I realized, this guy isn't looking at me at all.
He was trained on those girls the whole night. And we didn't even know until Paul flew out.
And not only that, he was doing it in a way so his wife / girlfriend wouldn't notice.
Right. He's being a creep, basically.
He's creeping. It was so super funny. But the girls were beautiful. And I get it, man. You know, as soon as I realized what he was looking at, I was like, oh, man, look at that. I'm not going to jail today. Nothing to do with me. It was this little girl.
Yeah, because it seemed very weird. It's like, Kiss is on stage. What do you keep looking at Joe for, dude? What's going on? But no.
Yeah, and you know, it didn't even occur to me to look back and see if maybe he's looking, because it felt like he was looking right at me.
Right.
But I will tell you, and I sang just about every song.
Let me tell you this, too, man, all you PRC listeners. This is the first time I ever really got to hear Joe sing at full voice. And your boy was fucking killing these Paul Stanley parts dead on all night long. I was fucking like, holy shit, dude.
I don't know about
I'm serious, that. Joe. It was pretty impressive. Because it's not like you were just like falsettoing anything. You were like full voice, full diaphragm, full balls, killing that shit. I could not believe it.
Man, I wanted to sing. It was, you know, man, I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to see them again. I don't know what's happening.
Right.
Seems so secretive right now. They're doing a second show in LA when it was supposed to be only one show in LA. Is that the last show? I have no idea. You know, I have nobody to ask, no way to find out. You know, I don't know if that's going to be the last show. If that's the last show, I'm not going.
Right.
You know, that's just what I'm saying. You know,
I don't think that there'll be a last show without us knowing about it way in advance.
Yeah, but, you know, they're going to go out of town again and do the cruise, which I'm not going on. So the show, they play the whole show. It was wonderful. We had a great time. They, you know, Eric played Beth. you know, it was great, man. The whole thing was wonderful.
And yeah, and then they, like, there was a couple of weird things. Like, Paul had that upside, like a upside down Iceman. I had never seen that.
Yeah, that was unique. And now I've seen a picture of it. A few weeks ago, somebody posted a picture of it backstage, but it didn't. I didn't catch on. I noticed that it looked strange, but I didn't catch on to what was going on with it until you noticed it when he was playing it on stage.
Yeah, and even Tommy's V, I hadn't seen that. I haven't been paying a whole lot of attention to this leg because I wanted to just keep it fresh for myself for the actual show. But yeah, I had never seen Tommy's, like, mirrored V, which I thought was pretty fucking cool for him, you know? Can't have his own identity a little bit.
Yeah, it was awesome. And he did Rip It Out with that. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I hope you guys just went, oh, no, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
He didn't even do Shock Me, right? He just did so out of...
Do the thing off of Live.
Yeah. And it was during 100,000 years? Black Diamond.
I don't remember, but somewhere in there. The cool thing was Crazy Nights, I thought.
Crazy Nights came in the encore.
Yeah, that was a weird slot. Because remember, we thought they were getting ready to do it, and they went into, I think, Cold Gin or something?
Yeah, that was unique.
Yeah, and then, I don't know, it sounded really good live, but it was great.
It was a great concert. We had a lovely time. When it was all over, we ran into some friends, Joe Lascon and his wife and daughter, and we hung out for what felt like about an hour. And I was glad because Joe's another one of those guys that when you see him, you're just like, you know, I wish I lived next door to him.
Old Jody Joe Lascon.
Yeah. And it was cool to hang out. We talked Kiss. You know, and it was really funny because he said, what are you guys doing now? And we were like, we're going back to record. And he's like, I love your dedication. Ironically, we didn't record.
Yeah, it was like by the time we got back here, it was like, fuck it.
Ugh, I'm tired. I got to leave in 4 hours and head back to Atlanta.
Yeah.
So we didn't even get a chance to record. So the dedication was like right out the window. So we went for food. At Amber's place, she came out and talked to us, and we hung out for a little while. Then we came home. I went upstairs to bed, set my alarm, got up. I got up, and no joke, guys, Jody's girlfriend, Amber, she had made full-on breakfast. Eggs, bacon, biscuits, sausage, all to, like, say, this is awesome, Joe. Let's have breakfast and send you on your way, right?
Yeah.
She packed me a lunch. She packed me a food, and it was awesome. So I get, we say our goodbyes, and it's shitty that I have to leave, but I do.
Right.
We hop in the. I did wind up buying a parking lot shirt. By the way, my record still remains. I buy at least a parking lot shirt. So. I hop in my car, and as soon as I turn it on, it says that my oil is at 15%.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So I start heading home, and I call Karen, and I go, very nervous about my car driving home with oil like this. She said, see if you can find a place to get your oil changed. This is 7:30 in the morning. So I pull over, and I find a Walmart, and I go to the Walmart, and hell, they're open, and they're doing oil changes. So I go into the Walmart. I tell the lady, hey, there's my car. I need an oil change, please. She said, great, you're next. Okay?
Yeah.
30 minutes later, I go in, and the guy, my hood is open, and the guy that changed my oil is, like, leaning on, like, a box. And I don't see doing any work. Now, mind you, it's now 30 minutes, okay? Then I see him leave the area where... I see him leave the area where my car is, go to the tire place, get a bottle of water, and drink the bottle of water. I'm like, what is happening? So 15 more minutes go by. Then another 30 minutes later, this lady is sitting next to me and going, you know, I'm after you, but I don't think that guy is working on your car. And I'm starting to get pissed off. I want to go home now.
Right.
So I get up, you know, it's been an hour and 15 minutes or so. I walk over to the lady and I go, are you guys fixing something I didn't say to fix on my car? Because that dude, oh, and the lady even told me, the lady that was sitting next to me goes, that dude that's supposed to be fixing your car, he's been standing over with that other guy working on that other car for 15 minutes.
Jesus.
Jeez, what is happening? I'm stuck in...
You could have changed all your damn self this time.
And she goes, so the lady at the counter goes, now, sweetheart, you know, there's a lot that has to be done. I said, ma'am, I understand that, but my car's been on that rack for over an hour. She goes, over an hour? And she types in the computer, and she opens up the window, and she looks at the guy that was fixing my car and goes, hey, what's going on with this car? And he goes... He points at a guy that's in there. He goes, he said I need to get you to come out and check my work. And she looked at him like he had lobsters crawling out of his ears. Like, why did you not then come and ask me to come and check your work?
So he already had it changed and was just dicking around?
He's just going to wait.
Jesus.
So she looked at me and apologized, went out there, checked his work, came back in, apologized to me again. You know, and I, of course, was like, this isn't your fault. She was busy, you know, doing her job.
Right.
So by the time I hop in my car, I pulled in there at like 7:30. It was about 9.
Jeez, man.
So now I'm even later than I wanted to be.
And this is just like, what, in O'Fallon right off the highway? So an hour and a half later, you still haven't went anywhere.
Yeah, I could have called you and you could have come visited me.
Yeah, I should have.
Wandered Walmart together and chased each other with, like, pool noodles.
Yeah.
So, I get my car and I start to head home. Then, here's where it gets crazy. My phone, I forgot to charge it overnight when I was asleep at Jody's house. My phone dies. And I'm GPSing at home with my phone.
Oh, no.
All I remembered was the last thing said 40 miles. So I plugged my phone in, put it on the little holder. It started back up and then died again. And I was like, oh, no, this is terrible. And I just turned it off and let it sit, you know, and just drove. Just looking at my speedometer going, how many miles have I driven now? Maybe it's charged a little. Anyway, it finally got charged enough to where I could use it. And I, you know, headed it home. I'll tell you one more thing that was funny. I pulled over at this gas station because I had to pee so bad. Like, my back teeth were floating.
Yeah.
I need gas. And I start to get gas, and I'm going, oh, no, I can't get gas yet. I got to pee. I go in. There's three little kids standing at the bathroom door. And then an older guy in front of me, and then me. And I'm going, well, this isn't going to take too long, right? So I'm standing there. 5 minutes later, those little kids still haven't gone into the bathroom because somebody's in the bathroom.
Oh, no.
Probably the same guy that was at the record exchange. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't even do this. So I run out to my car. And when I say run, I mean I ran, people. I ran to my car. Because I was 10 seconds away from literally pissing myself. I hop in the car. I drive across the way. At this point, I think I'm in Tennessee, so there's a crystal. So, which is like a castle. What's it called?
A white castle, yeah.
White. So I run in. I pee. I was like, wonderful. I left. The lady looked at me and goes, hi. And I go, hi. And I was like, yeah, you know, what are you going to tell me? I got to buy something? No. And I went in, and I gas. Man, I looked across the way, and there were there was like a car driving across the street to the gas station to the right of the crystal. And when I needed gas still, so I went around there. And when I realized that it was the guy that was standing in front of me, across the way, he never made it to the bathroom, and he finally just gave up and came across the way.
Damn.
Yeah, it was terrible. So I got my gas and headed on home, and I was speeding back to my baby when I made it. And, you know, that's pretty much the end of the story. I got home, probably, I was supposed to get home at about 3:30 or 4 in the afternoon, and I really wound up getting home around 6 because of the Walmart oil change debacle.
Plus, but, you gained an hour somewhere in there. You lost an hour, right?
Yeah, that's true, too. In the end, man, this was a wonderful trip. It's too bad that it was short, but, you know, it has to be that way. Damn, I forgot to talk about the hotel. When I woke up in the hotel that I was in, I came down the elevator, and I heard this loud recording of, like, church. It was like a church recording, and the preacher's going, "Everybody clap your hands!" You know, it was obviously an African-American church, because it was fun sounding, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like Sister like, Act.
Like, yeah, like at my Catholic church that I go to, it ain't like that at all. There is no fun. Anyway, I'm walking by where I hear the recording, and I realize, damn, that's not a recording. Church is going on right behind this door where I'm at. It was so funny because it was like the most bizarre place. Like, yeah, church.
It was a weird place for like a congregation.
Yeah, I was on the elevator and some guy goes, "You ever buy anything online? Like, where you got to meet people?" And I'm like, "I have before." I don't know who the guy is, and he goes, because this guy's got like a Glock for like $325. He goes, "What do you think I should do?" And I never met this man a day of my life. And he's carrying on this conversation about Glocks and buying them online. And I go, "Well, first thing you need to do is make sure that you're not buying a gun that's been used in a murder."
Yeah. Damn.
And then I said, he goes, "Where do you think I should meet him?" I was like, "Probably in front of the police station," which is where I would meet somebody if I was buying like a video game.
Right.
Just so if they don't show up, then they were bad people. You know, if they show up, then they have nothing to worry about. Yeah. But it was such a bizarre conversation. I get on the elevator. I tell him, "Thank you for holding the door." And then he starts confiding in me about a Glock that he's going to buy online. It was just so strange, but. It was a great time, Jody. Thank you for letting me crash upstairs in the kids' room.
Yeah.
I slept pretty well. I only got tired once I started getting close to home. Really weird, but right. We had a good time. The set list was the same set list that you guys all know, but we did enjoy it, and it was a lot of fun, and we spent it together. And when it was all over, we saw even more friends, and we hung out, and we talked, and it was just a beautiful experience, I think.
Amen, dude. It was one of the greatest things we've done together.
Yeah. And now we got to wait to see if they're going to come close again. They come close again, I'm going to be like, if they play, no, we got to figure it out. There's places. Tennessee's not, it's split between us.
Yeah, half and half.
But
I like that. I mean, usually I don't like the shed shows, but it was pretty awesome, dude. It was pretty nice.
One of the cool things is that we were close enough that it was really hard to tell.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the things that I did notice that was like in the arenas, there was this fire that came from behind Eric's drum set during War Machine that shot sideways. And it still did that, but it only shot a little bit. It didn't shoot all the way because obviously there's people standing over there, and they're going to get lit on fire.
Torched.
Yeah. Gene stood over there with Sam Serpent and let him breathe on him. He just kept getting covered in that, you know, smoke.
Yeah.
Cool. And the only thing, that, like, Jody brought it up, and it was, you know, when it's like the people that were there, that were around us, except for a couple, really, they enjoyed the show, but it's like they weren't yelling cold gin or, you know.
Yeah, like all the old like Kiss classic things that would happen at a concert. And it seemed like no one does any of that shit anymore, you know.
Yeah, it's like they didn't know that they were supposed to yell cold gin.
Right. I wonder how many people, when Paul was asking for his name, didn't even know what his name was.
The Star Child.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing that weirds me out about a Kiss concert is like no one, like we're kind of geeking out the whole time, and all the people around us seemed very like tame, which made us seem like the weirdos. You know what I mean?
Right. They were very monotone feeling, you know, very mellow, very one level, and they never really like lost their minds, man. But we were losing our minds for the whole, you know, hour, 45, two hours. Man,
we gotta have fun at the show.
Yeah, it's like, what's wrong with you people? But otherwise, here's what, I was happy that we were enjoying a show. I was happy that I knew a couple people in the front row.
Yeah, we could see Joe and Kenny from where we were, like, rocking out the whole time.
I was happy that my friends were all having fun. It didn't seem like anybody had a bad time. When the show was over, there was lots of screaming and hooting and hollering, and in the end, it was a great time.
Yeah. Another cool thing that happened was a couple different times during the show, I would look over and like Ryan and Phil and Christopher. I mean, these guys have been in Ace's band and Gene's band, and Christopher, not always, but definitely Ryan and Phil, you know, but, you know, and they're still geeking out to a Kiss show. Even after playing in Gene's band, playing in Ace's band, they still get excited about this shit, which is exactly what you want in a solo band from any of those guys. You know what I mean?
Hey, you also got to think about Ryan. I mean, he's played the Kiss Cruise almost every year until this one. Every year until this one, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, so, but he's seen it. But still, he walked in there, sat down, and had a wonderful time. And yeah, I got no complaints, man.
Yeah, that was fucking great.
Anyway, so I just want to thank everybody that was involved between Jody and Amber and the record store guy and the people at the Rocket Fizz were awesome there. That lady, she had a cold and she even wore a little mask when she talked to me. Thank you. I didn't want to be sick. The barbecue place was awesome. Everybody was super friendly, and I had a great time. I had a really great time, and I'm going to do it again, except next time I'm going to bring Karen.
Yeah, that was the only drawback, was no Karen.
No Karen.
But so, we'll see you guys again in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe so, next time we'll come to Atlanta.
Yep. So that's pretty much it.
What a great weekend, man. It was so cool to hang out with you finally and see Kiss together. That was like a bucket list thing for me, you know?
Absolutely. And now we're going to end the show. Jody, you got anything to add?
Nah, man. Just thanks everyone for listening. And thanks, Joe, for coming and making it such a fucking killer time. I had a great time.
You guys know what I'm going to say, and that is that we love podcasts, and we especially love Kiss podcasts, most of them anyway. And you're going to hear all the commercials for the ones that we love right after this. In 3, 2, 1, peace.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. growinuprock.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey, everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
Hi, I'm Bill Algy.
And I'm Dennis Talbot.
And I'm Alan Tate. And we're the Ages of Rock Podcast.
Hey, we want to thank our friends at Podcast Rock City for the shout-out. Our show has great guests and a variety of topics. We've been told our interviews feel like guys sitting in a bar, so kick back and check us out at agesofrock.com.
Woohoo!
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation
behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine. No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.
I love Eskimos, you know.